Well, amen. We have the privilege of starting our new series this morning entitled Crucified, where we'll be walking through the book of Galatians together over the next several weeks. We got the title Crucified from Galatians 2:20, which is really our theme verse for this series, where Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Did you know, church, right, that the call of the Christian life is the call to die? I believe I'll say that again. Did you know that the call of the Christian life, right, is the call to die? And here's what's, pretty interesting, pretty ironic about that statement, that in order for us to die, right, if we choose to die, it's when we choose to do that, rather, that we will experience true life. Right, everything that dies, right, whenever it comes to our fellowship with the Lord, right, everything that dies, man, experiences life. And for us as believers today, right, that's what we chose to do whenever we chose to surrender to the Lord, man. We were crucified with Him. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And as I mentioned earlier, that is true life at the end of the day. That's true life. And so if you got a Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And over the next, like I said, 6 weeks, we'll be walking through this book together, Paul's letter to really this region of churches, right, in several areas where Paul wrote was to a few different cities within this region known as Galatia. And just some background there, Paul, right, had the privilege of launching and starting churches in this region during his first missionary journey, right? So, man, fairly new to ministry, him stepping into ministry, into the calling that God had in his life, called him to go to this area, man, and preach the gospel. He saw folks get saved, right? He saw churches started, and then he went on his way. As if you don't know, right, he ended up going on 3 different missionary journeys during his life in ministry. When he left, what happened was, right, what had happened was, when he had left, there were some folks that stepped in and essentially were beginning to cause a stir within the life of the churches that were there. Beginning to cause a stir that was serious enough for Paul, right, to write a letter to the region of churches there and just keep it 100 with them. Get right to the point. Be honest and real with them. To put them in check, if you will, and make sure that they understood, right, what he was doing in the mission, right, in the call of God. And so, Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 10, but really, this beginning portion here is Paul, from the get-go, highlighting some of the issues of what was going on and why he needed to write this letter to the people of Galatia. So if you've got a Bible, Galatians chapter 1, if you're there, let me know that you're there this morning by saying there. All right, and starting in verse 1, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen, but here's what the word of the Lord says. It says this, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." Amen. Aren't you glad today that, hey, he gave himself for our sins, man. Hey, he bore the punishment of our sins on Calvary's tree, on that old rugged cross. And as I've said before, may that news never grow old to us in this room. Doesn't matter how long you've grown up in church. May that news of what Jesus did, may it never grow old. "He gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever." Amen. Verse 6. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Paul gets into, right, the heart of the issue, what's happening in those churches there. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Meaning this, hey, someone who preaches, hey, something different than what we've been preaching to you our first time, hey, man, let them go to hell, is what he's saying there. Curse them. Serious what was happening. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. In the rest of the chapter, Paul goes on to identify his calling, right? What was happening was there were people coming in, right, and preaching, you know, based on their merit, you know, preaching this false gospel, stirring up issues within the churches there. But Paul is saying, hey, look, listen, friends, I was called by God. And I'm not here to win the approval of others. And so here is the gospel. Here's the gospel. He lays it out plain and clear. And the call for us is to follow it. Crucified to man. Crucified to man. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. Now we pray over these next few moments, Lord, that you'd meet with us here. Lord, teach us, God, what it looks like to live a crucified life. Help us to understand that this Christian life is a call to die. It's rooted in the greatest news ever of what your son Jesus did, Lord, and how in him we live and move and breathe, and in him we have life. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd be folks that understand the gospel, cling to it, God, and choose to be folks that live lives dead to sin and alive in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The crucified life is the life that is crucified to man. I love this quote here pertaining to the gospel that preacher, theologian Tim Keller once said. He said this, if you try to add to God's salvation, you subtract. If you try to merit God's salvation, you haven't believed at all, even if you try to do a little bit. That's exactly what was going on here in the context of Galatians 1. There were these people known as the Judaizers that came up from the church, right, that essentially were preaching this message of Jesus plus something. In their case, Jesus plus preaching, or Jesus plus abiding by the old traditional Jewish law of the day. Right, so in other words, man, they were preaching that, hey, in order to get right with God, yes, you got to believe in Jesus, but also, man, you got to follow all these different rules, i.e. legalism. And what Paul is doing is saying, hey, listen, that's not right at all. That's not it at all. Listen, what you're doing in choosing to believe that is that you're deserting, right, the very God that saved you. That's serious. And so he goes in, right, and essentially reminds them of who had called him, right, and the message that he was preaching, it coming from God. Coming from God. What he was saying was, man, hey, this idea of preaching a gospel that's false, it's a big deal. And so for us as people of God in here, man, we've got to understand what the gospel is. Man, the question, what is the gospel? What is the good news? You've probably heard it before, man. Gospel is a buzzword in church life. Right, but before we get into what it looks like to be live a crucified life, a life crucified to man, man, let's highlight what the gospel is. What the gospel is. What is it? First off, man, it all starts with God. The gospel starts with the sovereignty of God. Hey, God, the uncreated one. Hey, the one existed who existed since the beginning of time. Hey, the one that existed and spoke things into being. That God, it starts with him and his sovereignty, him being in control, right, of all things. It starts with him and him creating mankind, right, for the purpose of fellowship and communion with him. We were made to walk in relationship with God, to commune with him. That's where it starts. Gospel starts with God. Starts with God. But secondly, we see here, right, to point of the gospel, right? We see the sinfulness of mankind, right? Man was walking with God. We see that Genesis 1 and 2. and then sin entered into the world. That snake. Little snake in the grass, Brother Dwayne. Man, that little serpent, man, deceiving Eve and making them eat from the fruit of the tree. And we see then sin entering into the world, right? And here's the thing. I'll throw this in for no charge. Hey, sin, man, it always leads to brokenness. And that's what happened here, man. Brokenness came about. And ultimately, separation from God. Romans 3:10 says it this way. For us in here today, man, hey, there's no one that's righteous. No, not one. No, not one. Sin entered into the world, man. It's broken. That's point of gospel. But the good news, hey, is the person of Christ. Christ, hey, Jesus is more than just some historical figure, amen. Hey, he's more than just a, you know, some dude whose cross we wear around our neck every now and then, or some portrait that we have on our wall. Hey, man, Jesus, right, is the centerpiece of our faith. He's the centerpiece of the gospel message and what he did. And we see here the person of Christ. We see the fact that he was fully God. He was God in the flesh. John 1:4 says that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was fully God, not 50%, 100% God. But also we see that he was fully man. Going down in John 1, hey, it says that the Word, right, Jesus, he dwelt among us. Fully God and fully man. Concept known as the hypostatic union, that man Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And listen, it's important to understand that. If he was less than 100% God, man, he couldn't die for our sins. If he was less than 100% man, he can't. His death would be futile. So listen, Jesus, right, we see the person of Christ entering in the scene, the big part of the gospel. And then, right, we see his purpose in him coming, right, the sacrifice of Christ. Hey, Jesus came to die. Did you know that? He came to die. He sacrificed himself. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus had to shed his blood on the cross. That's why he went to the old rugged cross. Man, to shed his blood, man, to atone, to pay for your sin and my sins. Hey, but good news is he didn't stay dead. Amen. We see the most celebratory part of the gospel message, the resurrection of Christ. As a matter of fact, hey, listen, Luke 23, it talks about how Jesus, man, hung on the cross, died for our sins, and it ends with him being buried. But bless God, there's a Luke 24. If you flip your Bible, there's another page. Hey, he rose from the grave. And listen, our faith hinges on the fact that he got up out of the grave. It hinges on that. Everything rests on that. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Man, if Jesus Christ didn't rise, then man, our faith is futile. It's futile. The resurrection of Christ. And then lastly, hey, listen, we see our response. See our response here. Listen, I've been given, you know, thankfully I've been, you know, given many gifts, and probably you have as well. But think about this for a second. Hey, a gift isn't really a gift unless it's been received by the recipient. Hey, a gift isn't a gift unless it's been received by the recipient. If someone, man, lays a gift right there, if I don't take it, man, then, man, it's just a toy or whatever it is wrapped up in there. Some cookies or something wrapped up in that bag. It's not a gift. The gospel, right, it calls for our response. And that response is repentance and faith, turning from our sins and trusting in Christ. The gospel. Man, before we get into what it looks like to live a crucified life, by first and foremost, hey, you got to believe in the one that went to the cross and died for your sins. Do you believe the gospel today? Believe the gospel today. Everything hinges on that. And this is the gospel that Paul was defending, right, in front of the Judaizers and the religious folks that were there in that time. What Paul was highlighting here, right, was that the message of the gospel was non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. And whenever we choose, right, to add something on to the gospel, which we'll talk about here in a second, at the end of the day, man, hey, we're deserting the very God that came and saved us. So real quick, what does it look like, right? The call for us is to live this crucified life. Whenever we surrender to Christ, we indeed died Whenever we believed in the gospel, we indeed died with him and were raised to walk in this newness of life with him. What does it look like for us to live crucified to man in light of this news that we've received? First and foremost, it's understanding that we have been folks who have died to sin. Did you know that? Paul highlights it here in the scripture here. Go back to the text. Look at what it says here. His greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Listen, Jesus, man, he gave himself on that cross, right, so that we could have life, to deliver us from the present evil age. What Paul is saying there is this: whenever you get saved, doesn't mean you're just going to get raptured up into heaven right away. As we know, hey, we're still here on the earth in this present evil age. What he's saying is, hey, he has disarmed, right, the powers and the authorities of sin within our life. Hey, that he has relinquished us from the grips of sin. Bible says, man, before we came to know Jesus Christ, we were enslaved to sin, slaves to sin. But man, whenever we surrender to him, we have been freed from sin. And we could walk in that new life. Did you know that today? Hey, listen, what that means is for us, hey, we can say no when temptation comes knocking at our door. Hello, hey, whenever our flesh rises up, hey, we can say no and choose to submit to the Lord. Man, we don't have to live as slaves to sin as we once were before. Man, we have died to sin. Look at how Paul says it here in Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, when he's writing to the churches in Rome. Look how he says it. He says this: we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Man, we are free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free from sin. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Just because we've been freed from sin doesn't mean we got, it doesn't mean that we just lose, right, to the old flesh that is still on us. Temptation still comes up. Hey, there's still times when you are tempted to sin. Just because we've been freed from sin doesn't mean that we can just choose to, man, live a life. Doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, essentially, you know, achieve perfection or live to be perfect. Doesn't mean that at all. Temptation's still going to come, but what that means for us is that we got to choose to be people that make war with our flesh every single day. Hey, this idea of dying to ourselves is more than just a one-time deal. It's every day. Choosing to make war with your flesh. Brother Ben, I've heard the excuse for, maybe you have too, you know, your dad being a preacher, you've probably heard it before. There's folks that say, man, you know, as an excuse, really, for their sin. Hey, man, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. They try and copy what Hannah Montana sang at one time, that song that she sang, you know, about nobody being perfect. You probably know the tune, yeah. Probably going on in your head right now. But they try and copy that thought, hey, nobody's perfect. Man, listen, so live how I want to. Oh, I fell again. Man, nobody's perfect. Listen, here's the truth today. Because we have died to sin, right, the call for us is to make war with our flesh, choosing to die every single day to our flesh. Man, by going to the Lord, laying it down at his feet. Perfection is not our aim in the Christian life, but growth is. So listen, choose not to let, man, the excuse of not being perfect keep you from making war with the flesh and walking in the freedom that you have in Christ from sin. Listen, we have died to sin. Paul was reminding the church in Galatia of that. But secondly and lastly, listen, we have also, what it looks like for us to be crucified to man is understanding that we have also died to the acceptance of others. Died to the acceptance of others. Man, Paul, when he gets real here in verses 6 through 10, right, he's speaking to the people of Galatia, but he's also, man, speaking to these Judaizers, these folks that were causing a stir up in the churches there. See, here's what was going on. The Judaizers, man, were stepping in and preaching, you know, this false gospel of Mary and Jesus, right, and legalism, following all these rules, man, just to be accepted by the Jewish zealots that were there in that time, in the first century. These folks that were there, man, they wanted to be accepted by the Jewish elite. They didn't want to get ostracized from society. So, man, listen, hey, man, we'll follow Jesus, and man, we'll sprinkle a little bit of legalism in there. And what Paul is stepping in and saying, no. Hey, whenever we died to Christ, man, we died to be accepted, you know, to the idea of being accepted by others. That don't matter. It don't matter, man. It doesn't matter trying to please other people. Here it is. I'll put it this way. For us as people of God, hey, if we're more concerned, right, about that statement, what will so-and-so think, more so than we're concerned about him saying, well done, good and faithful servant, then we got a problem. Listen, I'll say it one more time. I'll say it on this side here. Hey, if we're more concerned, right, about the approval of others, the acceptance of others in that statement, hey, man, what will so-and-so think? More concerned about that than we are hearing God say, well done, good and faithful servant, by our commitment and service to him, then we're in a mess. Listen, in Christ, man, we've died to the acceptance of others. We've died to. And that's what Paul's trying to highlight here. Real quick, what does that look like for us? It's simply this. First and foremost, it's us, right, dying to this idea of man's identity, man identifying with us, this idea of, right, being identified by the world and by culture. And we see Paul talk about that here in the text, right? He talks about these Judaizer folks that were here, man, living a life trying to be accepted by what the world was saying. And he's saying, look, no, it's not about that. It doesn't matter about that. It matters about what Christ says, man. We live in a day-to-day, right, where everybody's trying to define us. Everybody's trying to define us. Hey, listen, if you look a certain way, hey, you're part of this group. Hey, if you come from a certain neighborhood, you're part of that group. Hey, listen, man, if you share that kind of article on social media, you're part of that group. When in reality, that doesn't matter. All that matters is what Jesus says of us. He calls us. Doesn't matter. All that matters is what he calls us to be. Man's identity is what we have died to. Secondly, is this. It means this, that we have died to, right, essentially us being menaces to the flock. Died to man's identity, but also we have died to being menaces to the flock. Look back at the text here. Look what it says. It says this, not that there is another one, right, these false folks preaching a different gospel. Says this, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That word trouble in the original language speaks to intentionality. Hey, these false teachers were coming in and intentionally stirring things up. They were essentially, hey, menaces to the churches that were there. And listen, in Christ, man, we have died to that. We no longer have a right just because we don't like, man, what songs are being sung, for us to cause a stir, right, and start gossiping and spreading dissension in and around those that are around us. Hey, listen, in Christ, we no longer have a right, man, whenever something doesn't go our way, for us, man, to stir up trouble just for the sake of it. We've died to that. It's no longer about us, man, but it's about him. And doing those things, man, that doesn't glorify God. Doesn't glorify God. And as a matter of fact, man, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. He talks about it in this way. He says it's like this. It's like a cancer in the church. Thankfully, we don't have much of that here at Tyler Town. I'm thankful for that. Seen it in the past, though, and it destroys. And so, hey, the call for us It's to glorify God, man, by choosing to be all in for Him and His church, man. We don't have a right to be a menace to the flock. Be very careful, man, hanging around folks, man, that look to try and stir and cause up dissension, by the way. Don't need to hang around them. They need to follow the Lord. And thirdly and lastly, right, dying to the acceptance of others looks like this. It looks like us dying to man-made religion. Man-made religion. That's exactly what this is, right? Man-made religion. Hey, believing in the gospel plus following a whole set of rules. Use the term legalism, right, is the term that I used for that. Legalism. Believing that you've got to do a certain amount of things in order to get to heaven. I remember one time in high school, I might have shared this story before. You know, got a lot of crazy stories from high school, Brother Dwayne. But remember in high school, young Christian, newer to the faith. I remember, getting a chance to do some ministry. I remember sitting at the lunch table. And a guy comes up, right? One of those guys that like to stir things up and preach the false gospel. He came up. We introduced each other, said hi. And he said, hey, Irv, you know you're going to hell, right? True story. No, was my response. I didn't know that. Why don't you explain to me what that looks like? So we went on to discuss, and his thought was, okay, yeah, got to believe in Jesus, but you've got to do A, B, and C. Man, got to go to this church, right? Got to get baptized in this certain church. You've got to read this certain version of the Bible, and then you'll truly be saved. No, that's not the gospel. That's legalism, friend. It's legalism. It's not Jesus plus something. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. See some other false gospels, if you will, some ideologies that we see in our world today. Right, there's another ism. Right, we got legalism, but also another ism is mysticism. Right, this idea of Jesus plus, following, these spirits, and doing these things to try and conjure up spirits. Sounds a little, spooky to me. Something that I might have seen on like Disney Channel or something crazy. But that's not the gospel. Mysticism isn't the gospel. Another ism, right, is, and this is probably more well known, right, throughout, our world today, and especially in Christian circles, is universalism, right, where, it's this belief, okay, yeah, Jesus, man, oh, man, he's awesome. He's a way. Also, you follow in the five pillars of Islam, right, and ascribing to Allah, man, hey, that's a way to God too. Or, worshiping Buddha, man, that's a way to heaven. Or, Hinduism, man, hey, worship 3 million so gods, man, and you'll get to heaven too. It's this idea of, man, all roads lead to heaven. Well, there's a couple of things wrong with that. One, man, each of those religions themselves, they preach on, exclusivity, for one. And two, Jesus himself says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no one that comes to the Father except through me. Here it is. Hey, it's not Jesus plus something equals everything. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Matter of fact, you can just take the nothing out of there. Jesus equals everything. He's the answer. He's the answer. And so for us, hey, it's choosing to understand that and not succumb to, hey, just for the sake of being accepted by others, man, ascribe to some of these other thoughts, opinions. This weekend I had the opportunity to do a wedding in Dallas with some friends from middle school, got a chance to officiate. I've known them for a long time, and it was a pretty neat time getting a chance to, been a part of their, journey since high school and all that. But while I was there, it's basically a mini high school reunion. It's been, 11 years now, since graduated, and seeing folks I hadn't seen since then, since we graduated. And I remember sitting there, and we're having conversations, and we're talking about those days of high school, and I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of starting to get a little sick because we're getting to talk about just really just how much of knuckleheads we were as kids, just being honest with you. But I remember walking through some stories of how, man, I would do whatever it took to try and get this one crowd, you know, to get a laugh from them, you know, to get them to laugh, you know, at my joke. Do whatever it took. Even if it came at the expense of, you know, that person that was in the class. They didn't do anything to me, but man, me clowning on them, man, whatever it took to get accepted by that crowd. You know, whatever it took to get that good grade, man, I remember, you know, I would, man, me and my friends, I mean, we would, I mean, cheat on tests, cheat on quizzes, just so we could, you know, get a good grade. Whatever it took. And I remember thinking at that moment, man, I did all that, essentially at the expense of, you know, my Christian witness at that time. Even though I was a young believer, you know, I did it at the expense of my Christian witness. Here's what I did. I essentially ended up doing all that and selling God out as a result. And what Paul is saying here is this. Whenever we choose, right, to live a life solely for the acceptance of others, we do so at a cost. We do so by selling God out. And that's what these believers, these Gentile believers were doing. And believing this distorted gospel, man, they were selling God out. That's what Paul says here. He says, look at what he says in the text. Says this, man, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. He's talking about this idea of, man, selling God out. Just to believe this lie, man, just to fit in. It's not worth it at the end of the day. And so understand, child of God, that man, hey, we in Christ have died to the acceptance of others. Man, it doesn't matter what people say. All that matters is what God said. And following Him. I love this quote I read this week pertaining to, man, our life in Christ. I love this. It's going to be on the screen here. Look what it says. It says, as followers of Jesus, we are ambassadors, not politicians. We live and exist to preach the gospel, not play politics. As children of God, hey, we are ambassadors, not politicians. You know what a politician does. We see it all the time, man. Hey, they'll do anything. Anything. To garner one's acceptance. Hey, they'll do anything to gather a vote. They'll say anything, promise anything. We're not politicians as believers. Hey, we're ambassadors. And we're ambassadors. We understand that, man, the only vote that matters, man, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and His vote. And walking in that acceptance that we have in Him. And so listen, understand that we have died to the acceptance of others. As we wrap up this morning, we'll see throughout the book of Galatians, right, Paul's zeal towards the good news, right, zeal towards the gospel. And, you know, we'll look through, right, how he oftentimes mentions the cross throughout this book and the importance of it. And if you didn't know much about crucifixion, right, or if you don't know much about crucifixion, man, not growing in church, growing up in church, man, crucifixion, you know, was not a very glorious thing. It wasn't. Matter of fact, crucifixion was one of the worst ways to die, right, in Roman culture back in the first century, man. It was for the worst of criminals. Yet Paul uses this picture of crucifixion to describe our life. Right, he uses the picture of the cross, right, to describe what our Christian life ought to look like. Jesus himself talks about it, right? This call to die to ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. And so as I mentioned earlier, right, this call of the Christian life is a call to die. It's a call to take up our instrument of torture and be all in for him. And so what does that look like for you in your life? What is it that you have got to die to in your life so that Christ can be magnified, be more magnified? I love this quote that I read this week pertaining to at us taking up our cross and dying to ourselves. Here's what it says. It says this, our cross, right, is not that cantankerous person we have to deal with day by day. Our cross is not the employer we just can't get along with. Our cross is not that neighbor or work colleague who cuts across the grain in every single time of relationship. Nor is our cross the difficulties and infirmities that the flow of life brings to us beyond our control. Here it is. Our cross is the point of our unlikeness to the image of Christ, where we must die to self in order to be raised by God into the wholeness of life in the image of Christ, right there at that point. Friend, what is it you need to die to so that Christ is more magnified in your life? What is it you need to die to? Throughout our series here, we're going to have a time of invitation, special invitation, where we have the opportunity, man, to die to that very thing right here and there. That's why we've got a wooden cross up here. Provide an opportunity for us as people, right, to respond by laying down what we need to die to at the foot of the cross. Once you came in, you received a little card that just says, hey, ask the question, what do you need to die to? If you didn't receive one, we've got some here at the foot of the cross there. But the question is, what is it you need to die to today? What is it you need to die to? With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask for band to come up. And as they're coming up this morning, as you search your heart, and ask yourself that question, what is it you need to die to? The Lord brings some of those things to your mind and heart. My encouragement for you is to choose to die to those things. It's keeping you from being fully committed to the Lord. It's keeping you from being one that more glorifies God by the way that they live their life. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, listen, you do business with the Lord. You got that card there. You can write down on there, man, what you need to die to. And my encouragement for you today and throughout this series, right, is to bring that card to the foot of the cross and lay it there. Signaling, right, that you've died to that. You're going to allow for the Lord to shine in and through you. Maybe this morning, hey, you need to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time. You may not have a relationship with Him. You may know church language. You may know all about God, but you don't know Him personally. Maybe your response is giving your heart and life to Him in relationship. Surrendering to Him. As that old song goes, hey, there's still room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Listen, you can come to the cross and surrender your heart and life to Him. I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to say amen and stand and sing. And listen, you respond as the Lord so leads. Again, what do you need to die to, man? Bring that to the foot of the cross and lay it down. Maybe you need some extra prayer. I'll be down front. Brother Cody will be in the back. Miss Megan will be in the back as well. They'd love to pray with you. Listen, let's be folks that live crucified lives, right? Dying to ourselves and then living for Jesus every single day of our life. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. God, we thank you for, God, your good news, Lord, the gospel message that still has the power to save. Lord, we pray for those in here who have not yet surrendered to your gospel, Lord. I pray that they would choose to repent and put their faith and trust in you today. God, I pray for those of us in here who are wrestling with stuff we've got to die to so you can be glorified, Lord. Things in our life that we've got to choose to die to. Whether it be certain relationships, whether it be certain habits, struggles, addictions, Lord, that don't glorify you. I pray that you would move us, Lord. Stir us, God, to die to those things today. God, I pray, Lord, as your people, we would be folks that, God, see the Christian life as more than just something we do on Sunday or every once in a while, Lord. I pray that we'd be folks, Lord, that are sold out. Instead of selling you out, I pray that we'd be folks that are sold out for you. God, by choosing to die to ourselves every single day and taking up our cross and following you, walking in you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, and we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. Amen and amen. As we continue in our response time, listen again. You got those cards? Hey, what do you got to die to today? Man, write those cards down and put them at the foot of the cross. Maybe you need some extra prayer. I'd love to pray with you. Brother Cody, Miss Megan, they'd love to pray with you as well. Maybe your response is to stand and sing. I don't know where you are today, but listen, you respond as the Lord so leads.